On prayer, this is fifth time, series number five. Our text is from Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 17. And I will be reading verses 1 to 13, and I will stop there. And then I will be mentioning 14, 15, 16, 17 in generally in, at the end of my sermon. Before reading our text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this great text today that we are about to open and read to learn about how to pray, the nature of a prayer. Lord, we're so thankful for your word that we have in our hands, and we can meditate and reflect on your words every day. Without your words and without your teachings from the law and Bible, we're not able to understand you. But at the same time, Lord, we need your help. Would you please help us to understand? Would you please help us to know and find your will and seeking your plan for us through our text today? As we are worshiping you with your word, please be with us and bless me as well, Lord, as I'm going to open and share your stories from the Bible. Bless my lips and give your words to my lips so that I can speak only your words and only speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ so that we will worship you, we will glorify you all together. We pray these things, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. From our Bible, which is the ESV Bible that we're using every day, every Sunday, that is from page number 813, Jeremiah 12. Verses 1 to 13. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you, yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them, and they take root, and they grow and produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But you, O Lord, know me. You see me and test my heart toward you. Pull them out like a sheep for the slaughter, and they set them apart for the day of a slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither for the evil of those who dwell in it? The beasts and the birds are swept away because they said, he will not see our latter end. If you have raced with the men on food and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? For even your brothers in the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you, they are in full cry after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you. I have forsaken my house. I have abandoned my heritage. I have given the blood beloved of my soul into the hands of her enemies. My heritage have become to me like a lion in a forest, she shall lift it up her voice against me. Therefore I hate her. Is my heritage to me like a hyena's lair? Are the birds of prey against her all around? Go assemble all the wild beasts, bring them to devour. Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. They have trampled down my portion. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it a desolation, desolate. It mourns to me. The whole land is made a desolate. But no man lays it to heart. Upon all the bare heights in the desert, destroyers have come. For the sword of the Lord devours from one end of the land to the other. No flesh has peace. They have sown wheat and have reaped thorns. They have tired themselves out, but profit nothing. They shall be ashamed of their harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. This is the word of God. How do we understand Jeremiah's prayer in our text, Jeremiah chapter 12? That could be a challenge for everyone. Now, his prayer is different than that of prayers that we we have studied for weeks. Hannah's prayer was like a trusting God and her fervent prayer. And David's prayer was of a prayers of thanksgiving and praise and asking God, who am I? And you blessed me that much in praising God. And Daniel's prayer, we learn about the prayers of confession of sins, sins of the nation and sins of personal sins, and prayer of praising God's grace and mercy upon the nation. Now Hezekiah's prayer, we looked at prayer of faith in the sovereign God and trusting God, and Hezekiah's desire to worship Him in his prayer. Now Jeremiah's prayer is more like a prayer of complaint. That's why our Bible, the ESV, titled chapter 12, Jeremiah's Complaint. Now, in order to understand in Jeremiah's situation or his prayer, the reason for his complaint, then our story should begin with chapter 11, which is chapter 11, verses 18 through chapter 12, verses 12 and go on. And then scholars see that is one text, chapters 11, 18 to chapters 12 and 6. Now, chapter 11, verses 18 and 19 is also Jeremiah's prayer, if you look at. And Jeremiah prayed to God in verse 19. He said like this, I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. So something happened to him. So people in his hometown and tried to kill him, that he found out that. So we'll be looking at why Jeremiah's hometown people tried to kill him later. But Jeremiah was very disappointed by their plot and his own family members, their evil scheme to kill him. And in verse 19 in chapter 11 said, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of living, and that his name be remembered no more. Wow, it's a strong message. You see, it could be much easier if Jeremiah heard and found out that his enemies were trying to kill him. That could be fine with him. But it was a complete shock for him to know that his own family members are trying to kill him. I cannot imagine that. Did he do something wrong? That's why his family members tried to kill him? Did he commit a series of sins against God? Or did he break the teaching of the law? The answer to this question is no, no, no. He didn't commit any serious sins against God, as far as we know. What he did was a very, very simple thing. God has called him, he answered, and he proclaimed the word of God. He bring the message of God's judgment to the people of Judah and God's people. It is true that Jeremiah's sermon, it's not easy. Like his sermon at the temple in Jeremiah chapter 7, and his other sermons in chapter 14 and 18 and 20 and later on, so many passages in the book of Jeremiah. For example, Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 9, he said, will you stealing something? Will you murder and commit adultery? Swear falsely? Make offerings to Baal and go after other gods that you have not known? And chapter 9, verse 10, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered. Only to go on doing all these abominations. So Jeremiah delivered God's words to his people. That was not easy to listen. Surely Jeremiah's strong messages and his messages of sins of the world, the whole nations actually, he was called to proclaim the word, not only just the people of Judah, but to the nations. When people heard his messages, they must have felt uncomfortable, sometimes angry. Jeremiah brought a message of repentance of their sins. And he says, return, and faithless Israel, return, or faithless children. Now, people were not happy with his messages at all. As I mentioned in chapter 18 and chapter 20 and chapter 26, and people, when they heard his messages, They try to kill him. People and prophets and priests, leaders of the country, they try to kill him. And obviously, the only one thing what they wanted to hear was the message of blessings from the false prophets. If you read Jeremiah chapter 22 and 28, you will see false prophets, what they did to the people of Judah. They brought false messages. Now, at his hometown, Anathoth, which is his hometown name, and the people considered that Jeremiah's message is kind of disgrace to them, because his message of destruction of the nation and repentance of their sins brought them disgrace. So, hometown people, his own family members decided to kill him. That happened in chapter 11. That's why we move to chapter 12 right now. But before moving to chapter 12, it's interesting to think of our world right now, churches in the world. Now, including you and me, we like to hear the message of blessings. God will bless you, God will keep you, and God will do everything good for you. But somehow we don't like to hear the message of our sins and judgment and repentance of our sins, or sometimes persecutions around us and sufferings will be there. We're not happy to hear all these kind of messages from the pulpit. Maybe we're not ready to hear all these kind of messages. But look at our nation, look at the world. The people love to hear the message of blessings. It's really sad. It's really discouraging to look at that happening in our nation. People are just going to that church and people are buying that book. God will bless me, whatever. That's not right. That's not what the Bible says. Now, let's go to Jeremiah's complaint in our chapter 12. Now, Jeremiah must have felt really sick and tired of the people of Judah at the time. He must have felt discouraged and discouraged for himself and for his brothers and sisters and their evil hearts. And Jeremiah didn't see anyone coming and repenting of their sins. Rather, they try to kill him. What's wrong with these people? Now, after this horrible incident in chapter 11, Jeremiah's heart was extremely troubled with God as well. Now, so that's why in chapter 12, he began questioning about God's justice for his case. Somehow he felt that something was not right. So verse 1, he said that, "I would plead my case before you, Lord. I'm bringing my case to you." Now, before making his case, his complaint to God, and Jeremiah declared the nature of God in verse 1 as well. He said, "Righteous are you, O Lord." Now, this is a reason for him to bring his case to God, because God is righteous. There is no question for God's righteousness. God is just and righteous. However, the problem was that Jeremiah could not understand God's justice with the wicked people who are trying to kill him. Now, their scheme was obviously evil. They're trying to kill the servant of the Lord. God has called him. God has sent him. But the people try to kill him. Here, did God know their plan? Then why nothing happened to them? They're doing really great. God, what did you do for my case? That's what Jeremiah is trying to say. God is actually complaining. He is bringing his issue to God. And Jeremiah complained in verse 1 again. And why does the way of the wicked prosper? Lord, did you see them doing really good? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? Now, a commentator that I read this week and said, Jeremiah's attitude in verse 1 saying, like the quote, Jeremiah seemed to say, "You are right, but I still will argue with your God." So Jeremiah's attitude, his intention is arguing with God for God's justice. For Jeremiah here in our text, it was not right to see the prosperity of the evil people while he, who was the servant of God, was severely persecuted by them. We have the same question. We always ask the same question. Why do evil people prosper in this world? Jeremiah's heart in our text was more puzzled in verse 2. And he said, problem is that you, God, you plant them and they take root and they grow and produce fruit. Now, Jeremiah confessed that the sovereign God has started everything. God had planted them in this world. Now, it's okay for him to recognize the sovereign God had planted them. It's okay. But because of God is the creator, he's a sovereign God, he sustains the world, that's fine. However, Jeremiah could not understand and comprehend God's blessings upon these wicked people. He cannot justify with God's blessing. So Jeremiah's analogy of a green tree that he mentioned in verse 2 reminds us actually Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 clearly teaches us that good people and God's people will be blessed by God, which is planted by the streams of water. They yield its fruit in its season. It was a wonderful passage. So good people will be blessed by God. That's what Jeremiah is thinking in his mind, I'm sure that. But while evil people will be perished, that's what Psalm 1 said. However, the problem is that there was not the case for Jeremiah. God has planted wicked in the world, and then wicked people were doing great, even better than the good people. So he argues with God in verses 1 and 2 and questioning God. And how come the righteous God, you righteous God, make these wicked people flourished? In other words, what about me, Lord? What about me? Do you really care about me? It's not fair. Jeremiah's complaint about the wicked people gets a little bit intense and serious in verse 2. And he said, Lord, you are near in their mouth and far from their heart. Jeremiah is reporting their real faith. They're worshiping you, Lord, and they're praying to you, Lord, with their own mouths, nothing else. But deep inside of their hearts, they are no your place. There's no honoring you at all. Lord, they are evil ones and liars. We see the same thing around us. People are worshiping with their mouths, not with their hearts. But we see them doing really great. How can we handle that? Now here, Jeremiah's problem in verses 1 and 2 was not actually their prosperity, but God's silence for the wicked people. God's justice for the wicked people. So in verse 3, finally, Jeremiah demanded God's justice for these wicked people. In verse 3, and he said, pull them out like a sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. Literally, kill them and judge them. Now here the word pull or drag in Hebrew carries a strong negative meaning and sense. It can be used in Hebrew like a ripping up tent cords. It's a strong word. Or a vine tree from the soil, just pulling out a vine tree from the soil. So Jeremiah is asking God's immediate action and strong judgment. Jeremiah requests for no mercy for the wicked people, but a complete judgment, his justice upon the wicked people, which is right to ask. God had to punish them, drag them, pull them away like a sheep to be slaughtered. Somehow his heart was really broken. That's why he used all this language. But it's interesting to see Jeremiah's had the same feeling when his enemies, his family members, tried to kill him in chapter 11, verse 19. He said, "But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter." So reading two verses together, it's really interesting. Jeremiah is asking God, "Pull them out like a sheep for the slaughter." And you know what? "But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter before." Now, Jeremiah asked God to perish the wicked people the same way that he had experienced before. Now, we see how much his heart was frustrated with these people and troubled with these people, troubled with by the injustice of the world. We have the same struggling every day. Now, another interesting fact is that Jeremiah says about himself in verse 3, that before saying pull them out like a sheep and command, asking God for God's judgment, and Jeremiah said in verse 3, "But you, O Lord, you know me. You see me and test my heart toward you." His prayer is somehow really desperate. He wants to see God's justice. Here, once again, Jeremiah is trying to make his complaint about his situation by telling God about his own righteousness. "Lord, you know me really well, right? I am your servant, your faithful servant. What I did was to bring your words to them. You know my heart for you. I gave my 100%. But you know what, Lord? I am now suffering. Look at the evil people. They are doing great. Show me your justice by punishing the wicked people." That's somehow a summary of Jeremiah's prayer in our text. Now, the question is, did God answer to Jeremiah's prayer? Yes, he did. That's the interesting part. I think that is the beauty of reading Jeremiah chapter 12. As God answers to Daniel, that we look at all the prayers, Daniel, David, Hannah, and Hezekiah's prayers, God answered Jeremiah's prayer as well. But here, interesting thing is, his answer was different than that of his prayer to other people. His answer was not something like Jeremiah wanted to hear from God. "God, this is my prayer. You ready? Please give me your answer." God didn't say what Jeremiah wanted to hear. Jeremiah's heart was shattered and by God's shocking response in verse 5. And in verse 5, God said, this is God's answer. "Hey, Jeremiah, if you have raced with a man on foot and they have wearied you, and how will you compete with horses?" Uh-oh. Verse 5 again. "If in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thickets of Jordan?" Now, he understood what the Lord tried to say here, verse 5. The thickets of Jordan. Here, God did not answer him any words of encouragement. God did not solve his problem, his immediate problem of persecution or sufferings. God did not promise that, "Okay, I will punish the wicked people to bring my justice to them." God did not promise at all. And God did not explain why the wicked people in the world were flourishing. They are doing greater than the righteous people. And God did not say that, "I will bless you, Jeremiah. I will be with you." Unfortunately, based on the chapter 12, verse 5. God answered him and said like this way, you know what, Jeremiah, there was worse to yet come. To worse yet come in the future. Now you are running a race with a man. Now right now, you say they get tired and they have you wearied you and they make you really tired and you're complaining right now. Then how would you handle your future race with horses? How would you live and survive in the jungle like the thickets of the Jordan River if you cannot live and survive in a safe land which is you are living right now, which is your current situation right now? How could you handle? Basically, God is telling to him, what you are heading right now, your trouble, your sufferings, your persecution, is nothing to compare things to come. But no one wants to hear from God this kind of answer. This is some sort of cursing. So God is saying basically to Jeremiah, so Jeremiah, do not complain about your current situations. I'm going to tell you more about it later. Why God told him that. Here God warned Jeremiah basically to keep his faith because more things coming. Keep his hope in current suffering. Even God warned him not to trust anyone in verse 7, even your family members. But did God miss something? He just forget about the wicked people? No. God did not forget what the wicked people did. Based on chapter 11, beginning of the 11, God said, they broke my covenant. So basically, God knows that they broke God's heart and they broke God's covenant. So verses 7 to 17 that we have, it's all about God's broken heart. Now here's a lament for the sins of the people of Judah. For example, in verse 7, God said, I have forsaken my house. It can be translated, I will. And then I have abandoned my heritage. In verse 8, my heritage has become to me like a lion in the forest. In verse 8, she has lifted up voice against me. So what we picture in these verses is like that. The first thing is God is using my house and my heritage and my people, my beloved one and my portion in this chapter 12. God is saying that this is my beloved ones. The Almighty God reveals his broken heart because of their sins. She has lifted up her voice against me. Now when Jeremiah heard what God said to him, now Jeremiah must have felt sorry for his selfish prayer, somehow selfish prayer in verses 1 and 4. He was more focused on his situation and persecution and suffering and injustice and unfairness of his life. And he said that, God, what you see is not right. Jeremiah completely forgot one thing. He forgot about God and God's broken heart due to the sins of the people of Judah. So if I were there hearing God's word, there's nothing I could say to God. Somehow our prayer is like that. We forgot about God. We bring things about ourselves to God. Not because Jeremiah's request, but based on their sins against God, actually God decided to bring his judgment to the people of Judah. That is verses 10 and 13. I'm not going to go into detail. But verse 14 said, behold, I will pluck them up from their own land, and I will pluck up the house of Judah from among them. So God's judgment is actually coming to the nation. It was not based on Jeremiah's request. It was not based on Jeremiah's prayer to bring God's justice and God's judgment to the nation, but it's God's will, that the sovereign God, His divine decision to bring His judgment, to bring His justice to the world. Now our text ends, if our text ends here at verse 13 with God's judgment, we surely will be discouraged today. Because God rebuked Jeremiah and his prayer, his somehow self-centered prayer. And God told Jeremiah that the worst thing is coming to you. And God spoke of his judgment of for the sins of the people later on. So there's no hope by reading God's answer in Jeremiah's prayer. And God will surely destroy Jerusalem and Judah. And however, in verse 14, God brings His promise and His grace again. God promised His divine grace for His people again in verse 15. And then after I have plucked them up, and then I will again have compassion on them, and then I will bring them again, each to his heritage and each to his land. Can you imagine Jeremiah is listening to God's story and God's answer? And then up to here in verse 15, now listen, although your sin is great, I will give you my grace. Now here, compassion, word compassion that we read in our text, it meaning in Hebrew is love. Good to know about the Hebrew words is, it's good, love, Raham or Raham, something like that. By reading verse 15, we also picture God's fulfillment in Jesus Christ. We know that God has fulfilled His promise in Christ, which is in Romans 5:8, one of my favorite verses that probably, I think I mentioned this verse almost every Sunday. This is what God shows His love, His compassion for us, in that while we were still sinners, God showed His love not because we are doing great, we are righteous, but still we are sinners. Still we are so bad. Why? Christ died. How Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And another famous verse is from John 3:16. We know this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only one and Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. It's all about God's love. So God is teaching Jeremiah, it's not about judgment. It's not about justice right now. It's not about your suffering. But it is about my compassion for them, my love for them. Jeremiah's prayer begins with his complaints against God. God, this is not right. Why do I have this kind of suffering? God did not answer what Jeremiah wanted to hear. But here, interesting thing is, we see through our chapters, God has helped him to open his eyes to see God's broken hearts for the sins of the nation. That is the power of prayer. Here, God has invited Jeremiah to see the bigger picture of God's redemptive history. Not just only looking at your current situation, but see, this is my plan. Even God shows His love for Jeremiah and His people. God's love, while we were still sinners, Christ died. Our situation is even better because we know God's grace. We have His grace, and we live with His grace, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah's prayer challenges you and me how to pray and what to pray in our prayer lives. We humbly pray for knowing and understanding God's broken heart for the world. Do we have any compassion for the world who don't know God, who don't know Jesus Christ? If we remember all our prayers, even my prayers, I remember that mostly praying for, this is what my situation, Lord. Would you please help me? But oftentimes we forget that how God is feeling about the sins of the world. His broken heart for the world. Jeremiah's prayer challenges you and me that we pray for God's forgiveness of sins to the world. We have to remember that. We have to bring the message. We pray for God's mercy and His love and grace for our church and for our nation. I hope you remember Daniel's prayer, his confession of sins of the nation. Somehow it makes us really uncomfortable. If I'm going to talk about the sins of our nation, sins of our lives, surely we feel that we are not okay. We pray for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be heard to the end of the world. That's why we support our missionaries. That's why we support and pray for our missionaries. And we give thanks to God through our prayers for His amazing grace in Christ. So these things we learn from Jeremiah's prayers. We don't focus on ourselves, but focus ourselves to God. Give our attention to God and to the world. But the true thing is, we should not forget one thing is this. We still will see and encounter unexpected incidents and disasters and injustice and unfairness and so many other things and troubles and after troubles and challenges every day. So we'll be in the same situation every day. Now King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes in 8:14, this is very interesting what he said. There are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. Yeah. We see it all the way. Always. There are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. So some wicked people getting all the benefits because of righteous people. So righteous people in the world getting all the bad things and because of the wicked people. We're living in that world. So how can we handle that? Jeremiah's prayers teaches us that we should not focus on that. We focus on our Lord Christ. We see much bigger things through our Christ. The hope is in there, not in our situation. So we pray more, like Jeremiah. We pray unceasingly, even though our situation is no good. Even if we see that wicked people are still flourishing everywhere. We don't complain about that. If we know that the righteous are still suffering and we Christians are persecuted by our governments or people, we can talk to God, but we never cease to pray and asking God's will and asking His broken heart for the world, the sins of the world. Seeking His will, not our will, not my plan. Seeking His will and plan in Christ, who is the true hope of the world. Brothers, sisters, it's not easy to apply Jeremiah's prayer to ourselves, but we need to. If you read Jeremiah chapter 1 through the end of the Jeremiah, you see that our nation is facing the same situation that Jeremiah had. That this is time for us to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the text that we just looked at. And it's easy to understand that Jeremiah is a feeling because we feel the same way almost every day. But we are sorry that sometimes we forget about you, Lord. Forget about our Lord Jesus Christ and forget about God's broken heart for the sins of the world. Lord, would you please help us to see that? Would you please help us have two bigger picture of God's salvation plan for the world and help us to focus our eyes and hearts on Christ through our prayers. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.